of course, is that the Al-Qaeda was created by the United States, by the CIA, by Robert Gates, actually, who was working for Brzezinski in the Carter administration and then under Reagan, as a secret army. Al-Qaeda is a CIA secret army to be used against the Soviets in Afghanistan. United Nations resolution and the entire NATO coalition and other countries too are now bombing Libya.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to New World Out of Order. Hey, today we're going to be reviewing an article that was published in the last, actually on May 2nd. It's published on the globalresearch.ca website, and the article is by one of the co-founders of that website, Michael Chuzadovsky. If you're not familiar with either one, the website or Mr. Chuzadovsky, I highly recommend that you check them out. If you're really curious about a lot of the stories that I talk about here on New World Out of Order, you'll find a lot of in-depth and very well-investigated journalism on a lot of these stories. It's not just me that actually thinks this. You'll find that the globalresearch.ca is a highly respected investigative journalist outfit, and these are not. Mr. Chuzadovsky is not a professional journalist. If I remember right, he's actually a professor. But anyway, check him out, globalresearch.ca. The article that we're going to talk about here today is Who Was Osama? Who Is Obama? And it pretty much refers to the speech that Obama gave just a couple of weeks ago, or back in the end of April, 1st of May, on the 10th anniversary of the killing of Osama bin Laden. And the article is done very well. It takes some of the statements that Obama makes in the interview or the speech, and it really tells the truth about him here. So anyway, let's go ahead and jump into it. The speech was actually on May 1st, and it was at the Bagram Air Force Base, and it was regarding the role of Al-Qaeda in all the terrorist activities associated with Al-Qaeda. So it starts off, President Obama says, "It was here in Afghanistan where Osama bin Laden established a safe haven for his terrorist organization." Well, Osama bin Laden was recruited by the CIA, and Al-Qaeda was set up with the support of the CIA. Obama's safe haven was protected by U.S. intelligence. And that is well known. And to give you just a little additional background on Al-Qaeda, from what I've learned, is Al-Qaeda was actually formed, officially, and this is from the words of Zbigniew Brzezinski. It was actually formed on July 5th or July 3rd, 1979. And this was approximately 6 months before the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. And it's actually been argued that the CIA elected to fund the Mujahideen on July 5th, 1979, and that's what actually incited Russia to actually invade Afghanistan. So, you know, a lot of people actually think that, you know, the reason that we started, or the CIA started sponsoring and funding the Mujahideen, which developed into the Al-Qaeda group, was in response to the Russian invasion. But it was actually, it very well could have been as a result of, because the sponsorship and the funding of the Mujahideen, or the portion of Mujahideen, which later became Al-Qaeda, started July 5th or July 3rd, 1979. So, anyway, go back to Obama. It was here in Afghanistan where Al-Qaeda brought new recruits, trained them, and plotted acts of terror. Well, you know, the Mujahideen were recruited and trained by the CIA. America's ally, Saudi Arabia, they financed the schools. And then, of course, Ronald Reagan, he praised the Mujahideen as freedom fighters. And this is all unknown to the American public, that the U.S. Spread the teachings of the Islamic Jihad in textbooks made in America, developed at the University of Nebraska. And that's something interesting. I've taken a quick look at some of the excerpts from the Made in America textbook, which was actually developed at University of Nebraska. And I'm actually looking looking into it a little bit more. But yeah, check that out, because it does talk about you know, the Islamic Jihad, and it doesn't talk about it in a bad light. So, anyways, continue on with the interview. Obama says, it was here from within these borders that Al-Qaeda launched the attacks that killed nearly 3,000 innocent men, women, and children. And, of course, he was referring to the 9/11 attacks. Unfortunately, to this date, there's no evidence that Al-Qaeda was involved in the 9/11 attacks. Moreover, this was confirmed by CBS News. On September the 10th, 2001, Osama bin Laden had been admitted to a Pakistani military hospital if I remember correctly, it was for dialysis. You know, he had a actual liver condition, or actually a kidney condition, rather. And supposedly that's actually what he actually died from many years ago. You know, it was not the attack a year ago. So back to Obama. He says, and so 10 years ago, the United States and our allies went to war to make sure that Al-Qaeda could never again use this country to launch attacks against us. And he's talking about Afghanistan there. Of course, the 9/11 attacks was a justification for waging war on Afghanistan on the grounds of self-defense. Afghanistan was said to be harboring Al-Qaeda, and was therefore, you know, complicit in an outright act of war against the United States. Well, you know, the fact of the matter is that the Taliban government, on two occasions in the weeks following 9/11, offered, and this was through diplomatic channels, to hand over Osama bin Laden to the U.S. justice system. But President Bush refused the offer of the Taliban government, saying that the American government does not negotiate with terrorists. Now, I kind of repeat this again. The fact of the matter is that the Taliban government, on two occasions in the weeks following 9/11 attack, offered to hand over Osama bin Laden to the U.S. justice system. But President Bush refused the offer, saying that the United States government does not negotiate with terrorists. Well, you know, NATO went to war in support of the U.S., invoking Article 5 of the Washington Treaty, the NATO Treaty. The latter states that an act of war against one of the members of the Atlantic Alliance is considered an act of war against all members of the Atlantic Alliance, or NATO. And Mr. Obama continues on. He says, despite initial success, for a number of reasons, this war has taken longer than most anticipated. In 2002, bin Laden and his lieutenants escaped across the border and established safe haven in Pakistan. America spent nearly 8 years fighting a different war in Iraq, and Al-Qaeda's extremist allies within the Taliban have waged a brutal insurgency. Well, now, the whereabouts of Osama bin Laden has always been known to the U.S. intelligence. President Obama conveys the illusion that the U.S. NATO forces and their intelligence operatives could not find bin Laden. In the words of the former Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, it is like searching for a needle in a stack of hay. Well, the alleged Al-Qaeda safe haven in Pakistan serves as a pretext for waging drone attacks against alleged terrorists in Pakistan's federally administered tribal areas, and that's the FATA. President Obama also says that Al-Qaeda operatives equipped with Stinger missiles and Kalashnikovs, or AK-47s, had managed to outsmart the U.S. NATO multi-trillion dollar military machine, which, you know, you have to kind of use common sense on in that portion right there that it's probably not going to happen. It's no proof there. It's just using common sense to realize it probably isn't going to happen. Back to Obama here. But over the last 3 years, the tide has turned. We broke the Taliban's momentum. We built strong Afghan security forces. We devastated Al-Qaeda's leadership, taking out over 20 of their top 30 leaders. And 1 year ago, from a base here in Afghanistan, our troops launched the operation that killed Osama bin Laden. Well, you know, a lot's been written on this issue, and no proof as to the identity of the person who was allegedly killed by the Navy SEALs. In the words of Paul Craig Roberts, the U.S. government's bin Laden story was so poorly crafted that it did not last 48 hours before being fundamentally altered. And, you know, for a lot of people who are not aware or have not, or might be surprised by this, that this story of the assassination of bin Laden is in question, I encourage you to look into some of the stories of the SEAL Team 6 members and their family members. Of course, if you'll recall, the SEAL Team 6 members, who are the elite of the elite, they were all killed approximately 2 weeks after the Osama bin Laden assassination. They were killed in that mysterious helicopter attack, of which, you know, all members of the SEAL Team 6 unit were inside of one helicopter. And, you know, it's one of the things that you'll find out if you read about these guys, is that has never happened in the history of SEAL Team 6. And that was totally against their policy. They would never all transport in the same vehicle, especially the same helicopter. And they definitely would not transport in this particular type of troop-carrying helicopter, because they actually had their own helicopters. So, you know, a lot of questionable things there. But if you actually read some of the SEAL Team 6 family members telling you some of the things that their husbands or sons or whatever had mentioned to them prior to their death in the helicopter attack. So, but, you know, since 9/11, Al-Qaeda has developed into a multinational entity with subsidiaries in various geopolitical hotspots around the world. And this is where, you know, a lot of people need to take notice, because you hear this stuff on the mainstream media news, but it just doesn't hit home with you here. So pay attention to this. In Libya and Syria, Al-Qaeda brigades are the foot soldiers of the U.S.-NATO military alliance. Wherever the U.S. military and intelligence apparatus is deployed, Al-Qaeda is present. Al-Qaeda in Iraq, Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula, the Libya Islamic Fighting Group, Al-Shabaab in Somalia, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb. And if you remember back in the Libyan invasion, I'm sure most of you guys heard this, but it just probably just didn't sink in, that, you know, Obama kept saying that we would not put troops on the ground there. And according to, you know, the Constitution, that he actually can't do that without consent of Congress. And of course, we know all that's been circumvented, and that now they take their, they actually take their military orders from NATO. But anyway, he said he was not going to put troops on the ground there. But what they did report is that they had actually incorporated Al-Qaeda on the ground to do their fighting for them, arm in arm with the protesters. See, a lot of people didn't really realize that. Now, see, at the same time that was going on, we were still in, and we are still in Afghanistan, fighting against Al-Qaeda. So you have to question that. If nothing else, you need to sit here and realize that those two don't agree, and that does not make sense, and that should grab your attention and cause you to look into this just a little bit. So, in a bitter irony, that in all these countries where Al-Qaeda's presence is known, that U.S. intelligence is covertly coordinating the activities of Al-Qaeda. Officially, counterterrorism consists in fighting the Islamic Jihad unofficially through covert operations, but Western intelligence supports their assets, including terror entities in the U.S. State Department list. Let's see, moreover, various terrorist organizations are now being used in U.S. NATO covert military operations against sovereign countries, example, Libya and Syria. According to Israeli intelligence sources, NATO headquarters in Brussels and the Turkish High Command are meanwhile drawing up plans for their first military step in Syria, which is to arm the rebels with weapons for combating the tanks and helicopters spearheading the Assad regime's crackdown on dissent. Instead of repeating the Libyan model of airstrikes, NATO strategists are thinking more in terms of pouring large quantities of anti-tank and anti-air rockets and mortars and heavy machine guns into the protest centers for beating back the government armed forces. And so for the people who are keeping up with the happenings in Syria, start paying attention to how the dissidents or the rebels are responding and actually standing up and fighting against the Assad regime. So and hopefully you guys all realize that by now that the uprising that occurred in Egypt and Bahrain and Libya and of course Syria, those were not started by dissidents. Those were not started by democracy seeking people. And I'm not saying those people don't exist and they don't want democracy. I'm not saying that. But those uprisings did not start by that. Those uprisings were started by people who were funded by other groups, and most likely the CIA, MI5 was also involved, and then the Mossad, the Israeli intelligence agency. Those actually funded people to actually incite riots, protests, disturbances, and of course they know it's going to start out mildly nonviolent, and then gradually escalate. But anyway, that's how it that's how it was started, and it's well documented. You can go find that out just about anywhere. But I do recommend the globalresearch.ca website. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised in the information that is provided. And I think that you'll find yourself like me, that you'll also be pleasantly surprised in the results of your own investigation into the information that you're finding here. Because what you all need to do, we all need to do, is whenever we find a particular source of information, we need to vet that source, I guess. We need to actually look into it and figure out if they're real, what they're, who funds them, what their agenda might be, before you can actually really realize that it's a credible source that you can count on. So do your due diligence on the globalresearch.ca, and I think that you'll be very pleased and surprised. If you're not, if you find something that causes you to question their motive, their truth, and their reporting, please let me know. Please contact me on my website, which is nwo3.com, and just go to my contact page and shoot me an email, and I would be very appreciative of that as well. Also, if there is any other reliable news sources that you guys have found that you like, please share that with me, and I'll make sure I'll add that on my news source list as well on the website. There again, that's nwo3.com. Okay, that was the real quick summation and point counterpoint for the Obama 10-year anniversary speech of the assassination of bin Laden. Hey, another thing I want to speak of real quickly here, and that is, most everybody's attention is pretty much in the Middle East as far as world affairs are concerned. A lot of stuff happening all over the world, and one of the things that I've been keeping, you know, half an eye on a little bit is Argentina and, you know, their president, Cristina Kirchner. And she's done a very, very bold thing again, as not, and that she hasn't. I think her, actually her father, who was president years ago, nationalized the oil companies in Argentina. And, of course, Cristina Kirchner has just recently done the same thing. And she essentially forcibly bought out 51% of Repsol, which is the large... it's actually a Spanish company, but that's I think it's the largest actually oil-producing company in Argentina. They're actually drilling and refining the Argentina oil. Well, Mrs. Kirchner came in and nationalized that, you know, essentially taking ownership of this, you know, to the dismay of Repsol and actually to the vocalized dismay of the European Union, the European Union trading minister, particularly. Well, you know, if you're not involved in what really goes on with the European Union, what really goes on with the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund, and how they manage countries, forcibly manage countries and stuff, then you'll probably want to look into this because, you know, the history of Argentina you're going to find to be just fascinating as far as the history of the presidents. Goodness, a while back, probably in the, I guess, the early 90s, mid to late 90s, perhaps, you know, they were going through presidents two and three a year. And it's not because, you know, they were ousting them. It's because they were being assassinated. And you know, this was because they would not, were not playing ball with the International Monetary Fund and the, essentially the corporatocracy of the world nowadays, and it primarily revolves around the oil industry in this particular case of Argentina. But it's very interesting how they just really devastated that country. They did to Argentina back 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and they were trying to do it again as well. What they are actually in the process of doing to Greece right now. And it's getting ready to happen to Spain. You know, Spain just, it actually just made some news today that, you know, Spain is already looking at some potential bailouts from International Monetary Fund and the European Union as well. And, you know, it's on the similar lines of Greece. And, of course, I told you several podcasts ago, and actually when I was talking about the Greece situation, that Spain was coming next. And now Italy is going to be after Spain. And there again, this is not, you know, the reason that I know this is just by learning how the International Monetary Fund works, learning how the corporatocracy of the world is, you know, how they're trying to gain control of all these countries and the world economy and bring all countries under a central government and a central economy. This is just understanding how they work. And understanding the current situations that they've put a lot of countries in, and that, you know, the natural progression according to past history of how they operate. So anyway, you can go out there and check out the International Monetary Fund. You can check out their 4-point plan for as they come in. It's an assistance plan for coming in and providing loans to countries, and it's just a 4-point plan that they provide to that they put across every country. And they actually tell you that they go into a country and they develop a specific plan for each country. But, you know, according to Joseph Stiglitz, who was the chief economist rather of the World Bank, he lets you know how they really operate, and you can, you know, check him out, Joseph Stiglitz. So anyway, keep an eye on Argentina. Bolivia is kind of raising up and offering some resistance to the IMF as well. And there again, that's a brave move for those guys because they were definitely totally decimated by the IMF. I mean, you think the IMF has decimated Haiti, which they have. They really decimated Bolivia. So anyway, but they're getting a little ballsy again and starting to dissent. And I think they're actually, it seems to me that they're doing it on the heels of Argentina. So anyway, check out Cristina Kirchner, the president of Argentina. She's just now coming off of surviving some throat cancer or something. And seems to be a pretty strong woman. And of course, she knows what she's up against. She knows the history of that office in Argentina, and she knows that she will most likely be assassinated. As terrible as that sounds, but, you know, it's a reality, and she has to know that. She has to understand that. But she's fighting for what's right, and she's fighting for her people. And that's all that we need to do here is we need to fight for what's right, and we need to fight for our people, fight for our country. And right now, our country does not include our current federal government. They are not working for our benefit. So, all right, guys. Listen, thank you very much for tuning in. So please check out the website for additional stories and additional links, nwo3.com. You start using globalresearch.ca. If you like it, please check it out, though, and give it a good evaluation. Michael Chesedowski, I believe you're going to find to be a fantastic investigative journalist as a side career that he has going, but really everyone that works on the staff there or provides contributing stories there is just I've been very impressed with. So, all right, guys, till next time, we will talk to you later. Bye.